It is safe to say there is unprecedented interest in this year's election. With a week to go, many more than ever have turned out to vote early, and election officials around the country expect record numbers next Tuesday. But that still leaves many millions who will not cast a ballot. Maybe they don't care, maybe they're busy, maybe they don't think their vote matters. A voter that this year we're going to call Ricky. We got that name from Jeff Inglis and Jim Rada, who join us in just a moment, and we want to hear from those of you who don't plan to vote this year. Our phone number is 800-989-8255, the email address talk@npr.org. And now let me introduce Jeff Inglis, the managing editor of the Portland Phoenix, who joins us from member station WMEA in Portland, Maine. Nice to have you in the program, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
And tell us, who is Ricky?
Well, Ricky is a college friend of ours. A group of us, Jim and I, and some other friends, all went to college together, and Ricky's a classmate of ours. And actually, I'll throw it to Jim to explain exactly how this encounter happened, because it was Jim who had the encounter.
Jim Rott is the founder of Ricky Pack and joins us from his home in New Hampshire. Nice to have you on the program, too, Jim.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Neil. Just want to make a correction. I'm actually in Vermont.
I apologize for that.
That's okay. So let me tell you a little bit about Ricky Pack and how it got started. Ricky is, like Jeff said, a friend of ours from college, and I think we all have this friend. He's somebody who we may have lost touch with over time. You know, I hadn't seen Ricky for maybe 5 years up until a couple weeks ago. And I got into a conversation with him, and, you know, he's the same old Ricky, nice to see him again. And it turns out that he was feeling a little bit undecided about whether or not he was going to vote. He knew who he would vote for, but he didn't think he was going to get up and actually get out and do it.
And the source of this apathy was what?
You'd have to ask Ricky. I really couldn't tell you.
Well, Jeff Inglis, you've said that you think this is the most important election of our lifetimes.
I think it is. This is a time like none, anyone my age, I'm 35, have seen. I mean, I think there have been possibly more important elections in American history and potentially around the world. But this is a time, I mean, Colin Powell said it the other day, talking about a transformative change that could come to Washington and frankly, to the entire country.
Well, in your story about Ricky, you said it was important to vote. You didn't say who it was important to vote for.
No, that's true. I think, I leave voting decisions up to individuals. Each of us is alone in the polling box, unless we bring kids or a friend to show what it's like. I think it's up to people to decide, but ultimately I think it's really up to people to decide to vote. Their vote counts. Their vote matters. Every vote counts. And expressing an opinion is the most important thing they can do.
And Jim Rada, when you realized that Ricky might not come out to vote, you did something about it.
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing I did was I emailed my friend Ricky, because I'm in Vermont, as I said at the top of the show here, and my electoral vote really is not going to count for a whole lot in the grand scheme of things, because, you know, we're going for Obama no matter what happens. But Ricky, now Ricky lives in a swing state. He lives in Nevada. So I emailed him, and he said, oh, I'm not going to vote. And so then I said, oh, man, I got to do something about this. So I sent a message out to maybe 5-10 friends. I, you know, made up a little thing in Photoshop. I'm starting Ricky Pack. It's a grassroots political action committee, and the whole purpose of Ricky Pack is just to get Ricky to vote. And from there, it has just ballooned like you wouldn't believe. We have a website now, rickypack.org. That's R-I-C-K-E-Y, Pack, P-A-C, .org. And there we've managed to collect a whole bunch of voting resources and arguments for why Ricky should go out and vote.
Well,
not just our Ricky, but every Ricky out there.
Well, we're going to get some Rickies out there on the line and get some of their emails and see how you might try to persuade them against their firm belief that this is not the year to vote. And so if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And why don't we begin with Phil. And Phil's with us from Wilmington in Delaware.
Yes, I'm not voting because I feel that both parties do not have the American interests at heart. Both of them are too corporate.
There are more than two candidates running this year.
That's true, but there are only two candidates that can that have a reasonable chance of winning.
But you could bolster the numbers for Ralph Nader, help build the Green Party, or vote Libertarian.
Yes, but that's not reasonably. That's not going to happen. I mean,
so you'd only vote for a winner.
Well, yeah, I'm a realist.
Jim Rotter, what would you tell Phil?
Well, I'd tell Phil that I feel his pain. You know, I understand what it's like to feel like your vote doesn't matter. And I would say that there's all kinds of local stuff that really, really matters. And that's where your vote can make a difference. You know, go ahead. You know, if you think that both of the parties at the, running for president are corrupt or too corporate or too far right or too far left or whatever, that's fine. But, you know, think about your local school board, your sheriff, you know, the people who are going to, who are going to affect your life out. Those are the people that you got to vote for.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Phil, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Here's an email from Bill in Chicago. I'm a 24-year-old highly educated urbanite who is not voting simply because my vote won't count. Living in a non-swing state makes my input irrelevant to this democracy, or should I say Ohioocracy. I understand someday we will have proportional voting here in Illinois, as some states already do, but until then I see very little reason to vote. And as you noted, Jim Rotta, you're in Vermont. Vermont also not a swing state.
Yeah. In fact, we're probably the least swingy of the non-swingy states. I mean, the town that I live in is one of the ones that has a standing arrest warrant out for Bush and Cheney should they happen to show up here. So you can tell just how non-swingy we are. To that emailer, I would say that your job in a non-swing state is to go out and find your Ricky. You got to find somebody in a swing state who's a friend of yours, who's not going to vote, and get them to vote.
I'd add to that, if I can.
Go ahead, Jeff Inglis.
That Vermont, what if all the Obama supporters in Vermont decided that, you know, boy, Obama's got it, you know, he's going to win Vermont. I'm not going to go vote. Well, guess who'd win Vermont? Not Obama, right? Everybody's got to go vote, whether you're in a swing state or whether you're not in a swing state. I mean, swing states are creations of pundits, of the media, and of campaign analysts. But if, you know, New Hampshire used to not be a state that people thought was a battleground. It went for Kerry in 2004. That was a big surprise to a lot of people who had expected a Republican to win.
If the Obama supporters failed to come out in Vermont, you'd be tempted to say maybe socialist workers.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Vermont? No way. No.
But the point is that even if you live in a swing state, you have to vote, or a non-swing state, in a state that, you know, you're the only McCain supporter in Vermont or the only, you know, Obama supporter in Arizona or something.
You need to express your opinion. I'd like to add to what Jeff's saying about swing states. There are places that are where your vote proportionally counts even more than if you're in a swing state. I mean, I envy the swing state people because, you know, their vote's going to count for much, much more than mine will. But the people who live in places like Nebraska's 1st District, you know, Nebraska's one of two states that allocates its electoral votes proportionally.
Maine's the other one.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, if you live in Omaha and you are like a kingmaker this year, seriously.
Let's get Henry on the line. And Henry's calling us from the non-swing state of Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes, I would just like to give my input on why I would not be voting. I think the Electoral College, especially for states like Vermont and from Alabama, I think it's an illusion of democracy. And I understand why it would be more important to vote in a swing state, but my vote ultimately doesn't matter. That's why I'm not going to vote. And I also don't feel comfortable with people trying to guilt you into voting or saying that you have to vote or it's your duty as an American. I think it's a right, but it's also my right not to vote. And I'll take my comment off the air.
Okay, Henry. Do you feel badly about guilting people, Jim Rotta?
No. That's the entire purpose of Ricky Pack. I sometimes reasoned arguments just don't work. And you've got to lean on your friends and shame them and guilt them and make their college nickname a matter of national importance, which is what we've tried to do with Ricky Peck.
Here's what's the college nickname?
It's Ricky. It's Ricky. His real name, I'm not going to reveal on the air because, you know, we just don't need people banging on Ricky's door. But his college nickname is Ricky.
Here's an email we got from John in Oklahoma. I feel like voting for president and senator is a lost cause in this deep red state. I live in Tulsa. It is almost as conservative here as Utah. A Democrat often feels very out of place here. Yet the last time I looked, I think Oklahoma had a Democratic majority at the legislative level in the state house, a majority that a lot of Democrats there fear they will lose this year. Republicans, of course, looking forward to that. So there are some contested elections on the state level in the state of Oklahoma. We're talking about Ricky, a man who decided not to vote, and the people who have tried to talk him into changing his mind. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's another email, this one from Sarah in New Orleans. On Friday, I waited an hour and a half in line to vote early, and after seeing that it would be at least another 3 hours in line, I gave up. Saturday morning, I arrived at New Orleans City Hall 30 minutes before the doors opened, waited in line for 4 hours, and then had to leave for a prior engagement. I will be out of the country on November 4th, and I can't absentee vote because I'm only out of town for the actual voting day, not for early voting week. I feel like I tried my hardest to vote, and even now the line outside City Hall is a block long. That is why I am not voting. Sarah's got a problem that a lot of people may have this year. Jeff Inglis?
Yeah, and actually I want to respond briefly to the commenter from Oklahoma as well, to which I would say you may feel lonely as a Democrat in Oklahoma, but you can make others feel less lonely the day after the election when they see how many other Democrats voted in Oklahoma.
Okay.
In terms of waiting in line, I mean, boy, that's I commend. Was it Sarah?
Sarah
was her name. Sarah, yeah. I commend her for her patience and effort. I think that is a problem, and I would suggest that she contact her, you know, the people at City Hall, who frankly may be too busy to return her call until after the election, but to register a complaint. I think if that many people want to vote and they're having to take, you know, half a day off of work or a whole day off of work and end up not even able to vote, that's government not working. that's what we need to fix. We need to make sure that everyone who wants to vote can vote.
I agree. I think Oregon's got it right. I mean, they do all mail-in voting up there, right?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And a very high turnout rate, too.
Yeah.
Maine has absentee ballot where you don't have to give an excuse. I'm going to be in town on election day. I'm actually probably going to drive past my polling place on my way between my house and work. But I cast an absentee ballot. I think those kinds of laws and those kinds of arrangements are very effective and actually help promote democracy and promote people voting. And frankly, they help people like Sarah from feeling disenfranchised, literally, from the process.
Yeah, I've got a similar situation here in Vermont. We've got we have early voting here, but I'm opting not to go early voting because I really like going out to the polling places, and I really want to bring my kids, and that's something I think that everybody who has the means should do. The people in our town here, they've got it figured out. They have cookies available for kids at voting, so kids early on learn to associate their public duty with sugar.
I hope they don't discriminate on the basis of age, because there are a few of us older voters who like those cookies, too.
No, anybody who wants can have cookies.
All right. Are you guys doing anything, by the way, on election day to help get people to the polls?
Go ahead, Jim.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that I may not. I'm the managing editor of an alternative weekly paper here in Maine, and Tuesday is my deadline day. I've stolen out briefly for this, but I will probably be on deadline and pretty exhausted by the time I get home. Though if someone said, boy, you know, Jeff, there's no way I'm going to get to the polls without help, I would, you know, try and find them a ride, you know, I'd do what I could. Absolutely.
Jim Rotter, what about you?
Yeah, I'm actually volunteering with the Obama campaign on Election Day.
All right. Let's see if we get Karen on the line. Karen with us from Charlotte, North Carolina, and that is very much a swing state this year.
Yes, it sure is. And I am voting, but my babysitter is not voting. And her reasoning is that she has family in the military. She does not like the Republican policy on the Iraq war, so she will not vote for a Republican. But at the same time, she won't vote for somebody that she says is named Obama.
Well, Jim Rotta, can you give Karen any advice that she might be able to use to guilt trip her babysitter?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. You know, I'm on a friend's kind of right wing email list, and I get stuff like this, you know, about Barack Hussein Obama and how that, how that somehow disqualifies him for the presidency. And what I would say is that having the last name Obama doesn't make you any less of an American than somebody who's got the last name Smith or Jones or Lee or whatever. And one of the things that makes this country great is that we can have people from pretty much any background become president of the United States. I mean, it makes me wonder if people had a problem with Martin Van Buren.
Just in my lifetime, Karen, people had the same problem with a man named Kennedy. So,
All right. Well, thank you.
All right, Karen. Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And let's see if we can get a couple of more emails in. This from Cherie in Chicago. My husband and I just moved to Chicago from Phoenix. It was too late to request an absentee ballot for Arizona, too late to register in Illinois. Ah, we're sick about it. I think we will end up stumping for Obama next Tuesday so that we can sleep that night. And we'll end with this email from Clinton in Wells, Minnesota. If you don't vote, you have no right to complain, and I don't understand how you can call yourself an American. Well, talk about guilt trips. Yeah. That's a pretty good one. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your time today.
Sure, Neil.
Thanks very much.
Jeff Inglis snuck out of his job as managing editor of the Portland Phoenix to join us from WMEA in Portland, Maine. And Jim Rada joined us on the phone. He's the head of Ricky Pack. He's on the phone from his home in Vermont. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.